guys know what a knot is. And so I'm just going to try to keep all of this pretty intuitive, and if you have any questions that anybody is asking. So a link of K components is a smooth embedding of K circles in R3. And then I'm going to add a point to it for the purpose of compactifying it, that you can visualize it in part. Okay. So this is three-dimensional space, K big circle, smooth embedding. You can just think of it as the map from the interval. So there is a map that I can take from the interval into the circle, right? And then I take a smooth map from the circle into the space. So into R3, and I want this map from the interval to be differentiable everywhere, infinitely. Okay, so that's what's smoothing. In practice, what you actually do is you visualize a knot by a projection onto a two-dimensional subspace of the space that you embedded. Okay, so a diagram is a projection onto the plane. Again, when I compactify it, this is going to be the same as the two sphere. Okay. So here's an example of such a projection. Okay. I say something is a knot if it only has one component. Okay. It's a link and it has two components, and sort of the simplest example they can think of that is not just a plane, two circles, is this link here, the two components. Okay. So there are some extra conditions on this, which is that the D only has double points. So I'll tell you what I mean. Double points. And finitely many of them. Okay, so a double point is just when one strand is on top of another. Okay? And you're requiring that your projection has finitely many of these. So my first question is, can you see why you can always only get double points and not have something like this, for example? Okay, so so I just showed you like some weird crossing of the board, right? When I say that it has a diagram like this, it means that there are potentially many different ways of projecting the knot onto the two plane and getting many, many diagrams. But only finitely of them will have this property that it has only finitely many double points. Okay. So let's do an example of So in three-dimensional space, because this is supposed to be a two-dimensional projection of three-dimensional space, what do you think is going on here? I have three strands, right? Which one is at the very top? Do you think? This one? Okay. And then which one is at the very bottom? It could be, right. So it could be this one, or it could be this one. Let's say this one is at the very bottom. Right, so this strand is in between. Now I'm just gonna move this strand a little bit so that I don't have this three crossing points anymore. Okay, so what I'm going to do this strand slightly in this direction, right? And that's because I'm sort of saying that in this space, I can sort of visualize there being a plane between these two strands, and I can move the strands a little bit so that it becomes the nice double cross that we have. Okay. So this is going to lead into the writer vector moves. Which is that a link K, so I'll use K and L interchangeably, can be smoothly deformed into another link. They're diagrams. So they have diagrams. D and D prime are related by the following three groups. So this is type one, and then I have, so this can go both ways. Right? So I just get rid of the pink, put a pink back in. And then I have type three is this. Okay, so it makes sense, right? It makes sense that whatever diagrams are related by these moves actually represent the same, like, because it's just local smooth deformations. I just pull these strands apart. So do that. But the problem is, given any link diagram, it's hard to tell whether they're isotopic just based on those moves. Okay, so here's an example. If I have something, so this is what is called the unknot, which is there's no linking, no complicated linking anywhere. Or I can draw another one, this is what's called a trefoil, this is the figure eight knot. Okay, and then I will explain these labels. Okay. Okay, so can you see, I guess this is sort of like, just to make you think about how difficult the subject is, if you try to represent knots and links by diagrams, they are easy to see, but it's hard to study. So is it easy to tell, I mean, whether you can deform this diagram into this one? Right? So another question that I can ask is, maybe I'll keep the door open because I'm hearing the other side. Okay, so if you don't think that these knots, the knots that are represented by these diagrams, can be smoothly deforming to each other, can you prove that there are no such moves? That's harder, right? That's also like extremely hard. How do you show that there is no such sequence of local moves like this that deforms one knot into another? So, how to tell knots apart? I mean, this could just be a really bad diagram of the knot. Okay, so here's another example. This is actually the same as the unknot. Which means that if I give you this thing tied in, if I give you a diagram that's represented by the string, you can actually continuously pull it apart until it becomes the unknot. Right? But this is not so obvious when you first see the diagram. You can try to untangle this for the rest of the class, but a first thing that you might try to do is simplify the crossings that I have here. Okay, what can I do with this string to reduce the number of crossings that I need then to get the unknot? So this is, I'm presenting only one option, okay? I'm presenting an option. You might untangle it your different way. I'm just saying, like, that's maybe a good place to start. I can move this over here so that I get rid of all of those, I get rid of these crossings, and these crossings that seems to be unnecessary. And then I just continue it until I get the unknot, hoping to keep track of the process. Right? Okay. So the other fine point I want to say is that I for what I do, I just swing like this strand around over here. But it's kind of amazing that you can actually sort of dissect that move into little steps that are just like this. Okay, that's also an interesting thing to think about. How do you get like broad moves like this to come out in little, find that even little steps like that? Okay, so. That's the first step of what I'm not invited. And so if you want to study not by diagram moves, it's going to take a very long time. So this, here comes a little bit of history, which is that, so Peter Tate was one of the first people to study knots. And he was alive in 1859. Okay, so for him, knots were like knotted to ether, which ether meant something in physics back then. Anyway, so but it was pretty simple to see that you can visualize a knot in terms of diagrams. And so the way that he tried to study knots was by tabulating. So start to tabulate all knots. Okay, what does this mean? It means that he wants to give you a complete classification of knots by their diagram. Okay, so this is the label. This is 3-1, and this is 4-1. And then this is the unknot, and then you just go on for every single diagram that you can see. But what do you need to do? So, what do you need to do when you tabulate knots using diagrams? How would you sort of generate knots in the first place? I guess that's the question that I want to sort of lead you into. Okay. So this is like sort of already done. I guess maybe you can first do it, organize them by the number of crosses, right? That seems to be some kind of measure of complexity. Yeah? Okay. Are there any two crossing knots? How do you see that? Are there any two crossing knots that is not the unknot? So you can try to draw this, right? So if I have two crossings, and my requirement is that there's only one component, there's only a few ways that you can join up the strands and the crossings until you get an actual bond. Otherwise, you get something that has two components. So that tells you that there's nothing here. right? And then you need to know that this is a little more complicated, that there is only one type of recrossing thus up to different deformations of the diagram. And then there's a fourth one. So this was enormous. I think this was an enormous thing for Peter Tate to take on. And then there were like many towns. He tried to study knots by writing down all their diagrams, and sort of later people discovered that this is maybe not like the best way to study knots. It does help in some sense that there's some sort of pretty amazing things you can do with these moves like this, but. So, one of the things that you want to use to study knots are knot and link invariants. Okay, and then these are properties unchanged under smooth deformations. Of the knot. Okay. So it could be a number, it could be a polynomial, as we will see. Any property that is invariant for the knot under these continuous deformations. So if I have a number that is assigned to this knot, that is different from the same number assigned to this knot, then I can tell them apart. And then I can prove that there is no such sequence of moves that transforms one into another. Okay. So, particularly, invariants that are based on knot diagrams are very useful for studying them.
So, are we working with the assumption that these are the only possible moves that are there?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, these are not the only possible moves, but every single move can be written as a finite sequence.
Okay, okay.
Yes. That's proven by randomizer. Yeah. Okay. So the goal is to have some kind of invariance on diagrams. And then let's just see a few examples. So is the number of crossings an invariant? No, why? Right? Okay, yeah. So I increased the number of crossings by doing this, right? Okay. But what about minimum number of crossings over all diagrams D of it. Well, this is one because it's actually bounded below by zero, right? And there are finitely many diagrams. So this is going to be independent of any diagram that you choose for the link. Okay, so I'll just like include another example here without further mention. So unknotting number. This is the minimum number over all diagrams that it takes to reduce D to be unknot. Okay, what I mean, I just mean how many crossings can I flip? What is the minimum number of crossings I need to flip in order to change the diagram into the unknot diagram? For this knot is just one, right? So now I have something over here. Actually, this is a good demonstration of this move. I can pull the strand over, and then What about this one? This is just one word? Yeah, okay, good. A nonempty number for a particular diagram is going to be more than one. Then the question is, how do you prove that it's not one? Right? Because there could be a diagram where if you change a crossing, you just don't know which diagram it is. That will give you these. So these give you, like, these invariants are very important for studying MS, but they're very, very hard to find because they're based on diagrams. Okay. So that's sort of the main point I want to drive for the first part, which is that, you know, diagrams are great, but they're also really hard to work with. When Tate was making his knot table, which is probably up to like 100 crossings, then he has to show that each of them is not, sort of each distinct class of knots are related, not related by includes. He noticed a phenomenon that is known as, that he formulated as a conjecture. So any reduced diagram of an alternating link has the fewest possible crossings. Okay, so let's take these terms not so much in order. Alternating just means that when I go around the link strand, the link goes over and under, alternately. So this is an alternating link. I have over, if I follow one strand, it's over and under. If I follow the other strand, it's under, over. So it alternates. Okay. Let's make this, put this trend, go back. This is also an alternating link. Right? Yeah? If I go through a strand, I have over, under, and then I have under, over, so it alternates, and this is also an alternating link. Okay? So, here's an example of something that's not alternating. Okay, and that's because I have this arc right here, that when I follow the strand, it actually goes over. Okay. And so sort of the interesting, so just to give you a sense of, actually, alternating knots are sort of very special class of knots. They're not all knots. It can be shown that this particular knot does not have any diagram which is alternating. Okay, so that is, I mean, that's just telling you that alternating knots are not all knots. Okay, so these are very special properties. Yes.
Much simpler example, let's say we have a circle with just a loop that goes, it's an unknot, but I just draw it as like a loop like this, right? I'd still go over and under, right? Yeah.
That's right. So that leads to the second thing I need to talk about, which is reduce.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, great. Okay, so that's very good. This is a bad example. So this diagram obviously does not have the least number of crossings for an unknot. exist two closed curves, simple closed curves, each intersecting the diagram at exactly 2 points. Such that I can enclose part of the knot in one circle, one closed curve, simple closed curve, and another part of the knot in another simple closed curve, and I just have one thing, one crossing over here. Okay, so the other one also is not allowed. Okay, and what this means is that whenever I see this, I can just flip one side of the diagram to reduce the number of crossings, right? So let's see an example. So let's get rid of the simple closed curve that we're using to do this. Okay, this is something diagram. There's a very, to reduce this number of crossings, you just flip it over, right? Okay, so this is, that condition is designed to get rid of conditions like that would give you diagrams like this. Okay. So you can also see that this is an example of having an unreduced diagram. Because I can always, so the reason this is, why this is formulated so formal is because you want to be able to formalize the condition that you have some kind of crossing that you can just flip over. So here's like one circle, and then I have another circle encircling all of this, and then I can just reduce the crossing here. Okay. Alright, so if you take a reduced alternating diagram, then it has the fewest number of crossings. So remember, crossing number, minimum crossing number over all diagrams is actually numeric. Okay, and this is telling you that there is a way to actually compute this thing when your diagram is alternating. So this was conjectured there, and this was very, very hard to prove until the discovery of the Jones polynomial. And this was in 1984 by Vaughn Jones. Just on the discovery of this invariant alone, he won the first. So, like I said, this is going to be an invariant that is unchanged under sort of simple moves on the diagram. And one of its first applications is proving that this is true. About how many years later? It's more than 100 years later after Tate made that conjecture. Okay. So proof of Tate's conjecture by Morwin Thistle, Morisumi. And it was in 1987, after appearance of the Jones polynomial. Okay, so goal today is show you how you can prove this old conjecture too. It's amazing that it becomes very easy if you have the right invariant. In this case, the Jones polynomial. applying for links is going to be negative A. Okay, so I'll explain those terms later. Times the Kalman bracket. And then I will substitute the variable. And the substitution of variable is just convention. Okay. Okay, so this thing in the parentheses is going to be a polynomial, a Laurent polynomial. Okay, Laurent polynomial in the variable A. This W of D is just a number. This Kalman bracket is going to be a Laurent polynomial in A defined recursively. So, on the diagram, whenever you just have the unknown by itself, nothing else, it evaluates to 1. And then if I have a disjoint union of a diagram with the unknown, also unlinked circle, this is negative a to the negative 2 minus a to the 2 times the value of the bracket on the diagram. And then I have what this means is that I'm going to locally focus on a single crossing, and I'm going to resolve it based on one of these rules. Okay. I'll do an example where this will be clear. Hopefully not too long. Okay, so recursive definition. Let's do the help.
Doesn't have as many crossings.
Okay, so we're just computing the bracket part. I'll say a little bit about this. Is like a sign counter, the crossings. But the bracket is the most important part of this program. Okay, so my goal is to simplify using these rules until I get something that's either just an unknown by itself or I'm not multiplying something else. Okay, so I can replace everything in terms of the polynomial. Okay, so I can do this in any order because this formula doesn't specify which order, which crossing I need to take first. Let's just take the first one. So this top, there's one crossing here and I have another one here. And then let's simplify using this rule. Okay. What I'm going to do is locally replace the diagram here by these arcs and then multiply the bracket by A. Okay. So the bracket of this thing is going to be the same as the bracket of A times this bracket of this other diagram and this one. Okay. Do you guys see how this is a recursive definition? So you kind of have to keep simplifying. Okay. So So I have one crossing left for each of them. Then I have to make two choices for each of these two. Okay. So the first one is going to be a multiplied by another a, and then I have this. And then I make the other choice. So I have a inverse. Then I have that. And then I have a inverse. And And then I'm left with A inverse,
why couldn't we have this, why can't we just go on missing that the first one is just null now?
Okay, so what, so have I said that the bracket itself is an invariant under the proof? I did not show that, right?
Yeah.
Right. In fact, it is not invariant under this move, and it actually multiplies it by some kind of monomial. Okay. So there's something they can do. Yeah, sure. But you actually have to show that when you remove something like this, you multiply it by some kind of monomial. So it's not actually invariant under all of that. Yeah. Good question. Okay. You're right, though. I mean, if I know that formula, then at this step, I can get rid of the kink with the expense of 4.5. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So at this point, so we don't have the polynomial yet. We have this, right? So what is, so this is like A times two circles. So how many, so what is the polynomial that's going to be? So if I remove one circle, I multiply by a factor of negative 2 minus A to the 2. Okay. So this first term is going to be, and then I'm left with one circle, which is just 1. So I have A squared, negative A, negative 2. Okay, this first term is equal to this. And then here I have 1 multiplying A squared minus negative 2. Okay, and then this part is also 1, negative A squared minus A, negative 2. And I have A to the negative 2. Oh, sorry. Just 1. Okay. Add all this together, you get the bracket. Okay? And then I just multiply it by this term, which just comes from making some sort of orientation. So I go along this way, then I go along this way, and counting the sign of each crossing using the right-hand rule. Okay, so I'm just going to do, so I'm not going to spend much time on this part. So this is plus 1, and this is minus 1. And you just sum it over all the crossings. So for this diagram, it's going to be plus. So plus 2 for WD, and then you multiply by negative A to negative 6. Okay? Alright, so polynomial, Laurent polynomial here, monomial here. After I plug in this variable change, I get the Jolt polynomial. Okay, so how is this relevant? So I'm going to try to keep this diagram up here. I'm going to write m of d is the maximum power of a in the bracket. M of d is the minimum power of a in the bracket. And then the lemma is that if d is a diagram, with n crossings, then this MD should make it more parentheses like is less than or equal to n plus 2 times. So I'll say what these quantities are. And then I also have MD is greater than or equal to negative n minus 2 s minus d plus 2. And both of these are with equality if d is alternating. And reduced. Okay. So this, okay, so n is just number of crosses in the diagram, right? Okay. So s plus d, let's just say this particular thing that gives me the higher a power is plus, a plus choice, this is the minus choice. So then s plus is just the number of circles that you get when you pick plus for every single crossing. Okay. So for this one, it's so this is plus, and then I made another plus here, so it's this one. So s plus is just 2, okay? And then this one, I have two negative choices here. So then it's also 2. Okay. So instead of, like, doing this really formally, let's just see why this might be true. Okay? So the n is because of this extra factor that you have at the beginning of the bracket. Right? So if there are n crossings, then what is the state that you get the maximal a power? You just add a for every single crossing. You just choose plus for every single one. Right? Okay. So that's why this one has a to the 2, right? And then, right, so the number of safe circles you have to subtract by 2 because of that first rule. Okay, and then the last one, what is the way to get minimal a power? It's just by taking all the negative ones, right? So you multiply by the negative. Okay, now the claim, which is not as obvious, is that every single term, all the other terms, the degree is bounded by between this, the degree of this guy and this guy. Okay? Because, okay, and that claim is true for any diagram. So let's try to think about why that. So the reason is, for any diagram, you always have the state where you choose the plus resolution everywhere, right? And this, like, a priori gives you the highest power. Okay. If I choose any other state, what happens to this power? It decreases. So this part decreases, for sure, right? This part decreases. What about the number of circles here? Can it increase? Can it decrease? For any diagram, so let's say I have any diagram with a kink like this. Okay. Can I choose? So if I do the plus state, I'm gonna have whatever number of circles the rest of the diagram has. But if I do the minus state, I'm actually going to increase the number of circles. Okay, so this means that these other states, that's like a mixture of the plus and minus state, will have degree less than or equal to this one. That makes sense, because while you decrease this one, you might compensate for it by increasing the number of circles. Okay, but, all right, so, that's the first part. This applies for any diagram. How do I make sure? What conditions can I put on the diagram that makes sure that no other state can compete? Well, what is the condition I need to impose on the diagram? So I did mention, like, this sign always goes down, right? How can I make sure that Okay, so so let's keep track of where the crossing was by the segment to the forget. Okay. So what you can do is you can get a graph out of every state just by doing this, by putting a segment back where the crossing was. Okay. So the condition that's end up going to work to guarantee that your degree is actually the maximal terms is that these graphs don't have any edges with two ends on the same circle. Okay. So this is going to tell you, okay, so why is that? If I have more crossings, so if I have one more crossing that I change the choice on and I pick up a minus one power, this condition is going to make sure that all of the circles are going to decrease. And then after that, I don't care. If I change more crossings, the number, the power is decreased. So I only need to ensure that it loops. So this condition, that when I get this graph by replacing segments, I don't get anything that glues together, is the condition that ultimately gives it. Okay. And that's why...
Yeah.
So if he is alternating, then these are actually equalities, and M of D minus M of D is equal to 4n. So 4 times the number of crossings. Okay, let's just, so I'm slightly up time. So I'm not going to go over dilemma as an explanation. I'm just going to say you can take this for granted that this quantity is always less than or equal to n plus 2. Okay. Alright. So this is also going to be some sort of topology that you can do with the diagram. But given this, you can see, given this and the fact that for alternating knots, these are equalities, you can see this equality, right? So what you need to do is, so this is also equality if D is alternating. Okay. So what you do is you just plug everything in into this difference and you get 4. So, let's see why this implies the conjecture. The conjecture says that if I have a reduced, so this should all be, I should all have reduced everywhere. The conjecture says that if the link actually has a reduced alternating diagram, then it cannot have any other diagram that has fewer crossings. Okay, so given this, where is the contradiction? The key point is that the Jones polynomial is an invariant. Okay. This is a statement this number is invariant no matter which diagram you pick. Okay. So let's say you have another diagram, E prime, has fewer than n crossings. Then there's a big contradiction. Why?
This number is an invariant position.
Right. So first of all, we have this number, right? And then secondly, we have that for every diagram, this is true. Okay? So if I have another diagram that has fewer than n crossings, let's say m, then we're actually going to get that m of d prime minus m of d prime, which is invariant, is less than 4n. Okay. Because Society might not be assured with other diagrams, but these inequalities are always true. So I can still get, I can definitely get this statement, which is a contradiction to this being the invariant. Okay. So for the last thing, so I'm just going to take a few minutes. To show you a cute proof of why alternating implies this condition. Okay, when you think about it a little, like, where did this come from? So, alternating reduced diagram implies all plus graph does not have edges with both ends on the same circle. So let's say okay, I just have a generic crossing, and let's say one resolution, one particular choice, let's say this one, ends up with, so somehow, so how I get a graph is I connect these circles with sections, right? Somehow, after traveling through a lot, through the diagram, it comes back and touches itself. Okay? So let's just follow where this boundary goes. Over, under, and then, so how many, so like this has to be over again. All these things.